A reading from the book of Psalm. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Be thankful to the living Lord and bless his name. For the Lord our God is good. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Lord, we thank you, Father, for your mercy and for your goodness, and we thank you for so many different things, just the blessings that you give to us and bestow upon each and every one of us each and every day. We thank you for this opportunity to praise you, to worship you, to glorify your name, to exalt your holiness, and to extol your goodness. So, Father, we ask that you would just take this time, use it to glorify yourself, and use it to mold us and make us and shape us and form us into your likeness. May you change our hearts, and may you renew our minds, and may you put our feet into action, and Jesus, may you glorify yourself. Send your Holy Spirit to touch our souls and to move us in ways that we've never experienced before. We thank you, Jesus, and we love you. We praise you and honor you. In the mighty name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. I worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship your holy name. Sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. I worship his holy name. Worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I keep on singing 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. I worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh.
Shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fears. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know you're here on the earth, and I will fear no evil, for my God is with me, and if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear, whom then shall I fear? Singing, oh no, he never let go, through the calm and through the storm, oh no, he never let go, and every high and every low, oh no, he never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. 'Cause I can see the light that is coming for the heart that holds on.
Gracious God, we just thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and for your grace and for never letting us go. And we thank you, oh God, for your goodness and for all that you do and bless us with. And Jesus, we do sing praises to you. We sing to you to honor you, to uplift your holy name. And we thank you for so many things that you bless us with. And Lord, just take this time of praise and just use it to glorify yourself. May you meet with us in our heart and soul, and may you just continue to grow us in our love for you. And so, Jesus, we commit this time of praise into your care. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
If I just a little longer, I know I'll be stronger. I'll just keep holding on to what I believe. Oh, I believe in you. Give me the strength for the fight and the heart to believe when it's hard to believe in you. Oh, oh, when these are the times when doubts try to creep in and I need a reason. just keep holding on, holding on, holding on. Give me the strength for the fight and a heart to believe when I got to believe in you. Oh, oh. If only I could fight just a little longer, I know I will be stronger. I'll just keep holding on, holding on, holding on. I'll just keep holding on.
Pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, once again, and we thank you for so many blessings. And Jesus, we just bubble over for the thanksgiving that is in our heart. We thank you for the opportunity just to give back to you a portion of what you have given to us with a cheerful heart. We ask that you would take these gifts and these offerings and these tithes and that you would just expand them and multiply them and use them to expand your holy kingdom. That many individuals would be brought to the knowledge and the faith and saving grace of you, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior. That many lives would be transformed by the power and the inworking of your Holy Spirit, and many more would be rescued from the depths of darkness. And so, Jesus, take these funds, expand them, multiply them, use them for your glory. We pray this in the mighty and the holy and the wonderful name of Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. Junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through sixth grade. You can meet Joanna at the door, and she has a special lesson prepared especially for you. This morning we are continuing our series going through the book of James, and we find ourselves in the first chapter of James and looking at verses 9 through 18. I want to share with us a couple words here, brief moments here, about God's nature. And the nature of God is being good. And sometimes in our life we struggle with reconciling all the horrible things that take place in our world with a good God and God's nature. And I really want to just address that this morning and just to give us an ability and an opportunity to peer into the core of when we are tempted to walk away and tempted to do things in our own strength and tempted to live our lives apart and separate from God. But yet, deep in our hearts, I truly believe that we do believe in a good God. And yet, how shallow, I quite often wonder and question, is our understanding of God's goodness. As I mentioned, because many times we do see many things in our world that seem to deny this as God being good. Corrie Ten Boom clarified the issue for us, and if you're wondering who Corrie Ten Boom is, she was a survivor of the Holocaust. She is a Jewish individual who survived a German concentration camp, and she writes this. Listen to the words of Corrie Ten Boom. She writes, "Often I have heard people say, how good God is. We prayed for it would not rain for our church picnic. And look at the lovely weather. Yes, God is good when he sends good weather, but God was also good when he allowed my sister Betsy to starve to death before my eyes in a German concentration camp. I remember one occasion when I was very discouraged there. Everything around us was dark, and there was darkness in my heart. I remember telling Betsy that I thought God had forgotten us. Betsy responded. She said, 'No, Corrie, God has not forgotten us. Remember his word, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him.'" Corrie concludes in her writing. She says, "There is an ocean of God's love available to you and to me. There is plenty for everyone, and may God grant you and I to never to doubt that victorious love, whatever the circumstances." This is the very situation the readers of the letter James penned. They found themselves in. They were being persecuted. They were in the midst of difficulty and trials, and you have to think that they were wondering, how can a good God allow this to take place? How can a good God allow this to happen? These believers in Jesus were scattered all around, and James seeks to encourage them during the difficulties by sharing God's purpose. Last week we saw the purposes of God and how he wants his love to be shared with all people. And he wants us to share his message. We saw God's specific purpose the Lord has for each of us, to move us to be more holy like Jesus. We even saw the perfecting purpose of how God wants us to lean upon him during those times in life when all seems difficult and left to despair. Friends, when trials assail our lives, and it always will happen, life includes that. We all will begin to question many things in our life. And the one thing that we can never, ever, ever question, and that must never be brought into question by you and me, is if we desire to successfully navigate the temptations and trials of life, is we can never, ever, ever question the goodness of God. I'll say that again. If you and I want to navigate life's trials and difficulties and life's things that are coming against us, we can never, ever, ever question the goodness of God. I want us to see this fact that at the core of all temptations is the belief that God is withholding something from us. Hear that again. The core of all temptations exists when we begin to believe that God is withholding something from us. Hear that. Please hear that. Every single temptation that you and I are faced with, every single trial and difficulty that comes our way, it's an opportunity for the enemy to assail our faith and to get us to question the goodness of God. And we begin to nibble on that hook and that deception. And when we begin to swallow that and question the goodness of God, we are beginning to be taken away by the temptation, because our belief in God being good has been undercut. Our belief in the goodness of God, it tells us that we know best what's for us. We know what we need beyond even what God knows what we need. You see, this is the belief that God is not giving us what we need. It's the belief that we must go on alone, apart from God, and grasp what God should be giving to us. Listen to our words from the text, James chapter 1, verses 9 through 18. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, they will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heart than it withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when they are tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when they are drawn away by their own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This entire passage, it speaks to the temptation to live a life apart from God in our own strength. James talks of the rich man and how they will pass away quickly from this earth. Let me explain this real quick. You and I, we have a rich problem. We all have an earthly wealth problem. A few weeks ago, I was reading a book by Francis Chan. I believe the title was called Forgotten God. And he, in this book, stated that if you purchased that book, you just spent more in that one transaction than the majority of people live on for an entire week. In one transaction, one purchase, one click of a mouse. And I believe the cost of the book was $10.99. And to put that in perspective, in that one moment, I spent more than the majority of people that live all around the world live on for an entire week. You see, in our lives, we think when the cable goes out, when the phone's don't working, when our iPad isn't working, our iPhone malfunctions, we think that this is woe is me and I can't handle all that. But friends, that's a rich problem. That's a rich person's problem. Because the majority of the people that live on the face of the earth do not have iPhones, they do not have iPads, they do not have cable. The majority of the people do not have the things that we in our country have. And yet we are so quick to go to the store and purchase a book and plunk down a 10 and a 5 and say, here, and in that one transaction, we're spending more than what normal people live on for an entire week. We all have a rich problem, and at the core of this rich problem, it exists for you and me, the temptation to live apart from God, because we have kids, we have adults that say, I need this, and God, why aren't you giving this to me? And then a subtle tempter whispers in our mind, whispers in our ear that says, God isn't a good God because he is withholding this from you. And whatever that this is, you fill in the blank. For somebody, it could be a car. For somebody else, it could be something else. For somebody else, it could be totally different. And yet when we feel that God is withholding something from us, we are questioning the goodness of God. And when we begin to question and doubt that God is a good God, we begin to live a life that is totally apart and separate apart from a holy, loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, this is the belief that we must do it on our own. It's the belief that God isn't going to do it. So I got to pick up things and do what God isn't going to do. And that's our rich mentality in this world, in this country. It's a rich sickness. And as James says, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in their humiliation. We should humble ourselves and place ourselves low, that no matter what blessings, do you realize that America is the most blessed society that has ever existed? The most blessed country, the most blessed established country that has ever been on the face of this earth. And yet, what do? We say, I want more, I want more. I am not satisfied, I'm not happy, because we think deep down inside, if we're brutally honest and if we're truthful to ourselves and to God, we believe that God is withholding something that we determine to be good. And that, my friends, undercuts our belief that God is good and that part of His character is goodness. Every one of us, as I mentioned here this morning, truly does have a rich problem. James has a warning here in this text, and it is this: to not live apart from God's influence, since when we do, then all of our pursuits will fade away like the grass of the field, and all we put in our hands and do with our hands will be in vain. I look at all the decorations for VBS. This is for God's glory. You truly want something to last, something, your life to mean something? I'm going to challenge you here to put your pursuits, put your efforts to what is lasting. And the only thing that is lasting here is not what you don't have. It's what changes the heart. And it's the gospel of Christ. It's the good news. It is the truth that will stand forever. Every word, every jot and tittle of God's word will not pass away, but heaven and earth will pass away. The author, as I mentioned, James, is the half-brother of Jesus. He moves from this rich speaking and talking about being tempted by God, and he then begins to tell us that we all have a tendency to go out apart from God and grasp and get what we feel God is withholding from us, and to get it on our own. In our own strength, in our own ability, in our own desire, we seek to strive to fulfill what it is that we want or what it is that we feel that we need, what it is that we feel will satisfy our soul, what it is, and it could be anything. And that, my friends, is the core of temptation. This temptation is and always will be what we feel we need or want. And it will always be rooted in a belief that God is not good, because if God was good, then He would provide us with such and such. He would give us what we want, and God would grant our prayer requests. God would open doors we yearn to walk through. Remember Adam and Eve. Remember in perfection incarnate. And the subtle tempter whispers in Eve's ear, and Adam, friends, was standing right there with Eve. So it wasn't just Eve who was beguiled, it was Adam too. And the tempter whispers and says, you know what? God is withholding this from you. He doesn't want you to be like God. He doesn't want you to know good and evil. It's the core of temptation. And it's in a subtle way that the tempter was saying, God is not good, for He's withholding this very tree from you. Remember Jesus in Matthew 4, if you turn there, and don't turn there, but in your own time, look it up. In the temptation of Jesus, the devil goes to Jesus and says, you know what, it's not good that you're hungry. Turn this rock into bread, because a good God wouldn't let you be hungry. Take it in your own strength. Take it in your own power. Take it in your own ability and meet your own need. And friends, the same temptation is for you and for me today. It's the same as clear. You know, the message from the tempter is that God is not good to withhold something from you. This subtle message, it comes to you and me each day that God can't be good if He is withholding blank from you. And you can fill in the blank, I can fill in the blank, and all of us have many things in our lives that we can be tempted with, and it's the tactic of the enemy. I want you to listen to verses 16 and 17 again. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Do not be deceived about God's goodness. When you are going without, when you are struggling without something, when you feel that you need something and yet God has failed to answer, I don't care what it is. It could be a relationship. It could be a job. It could be some material thing that would make your life easier. When you are struggling in that situation, that circumstance that comes against you, do not swallow the hook of the deception that the enemy wants you to swallow. And that hook is saying that God is not a good God because He is withholding whatever it is from you. Do not doubt God being good. Don't let circumstances determine your belief about the character and the nature of God. If you and I are going to be victorious and to stand and to not be deceived by doubting the goodness of God, we must remember three things. First is that God is the standard of goodness. Many times in our world, in our life, in our journey, we determine and define God by goodness. As Corey Ten Boom said, we prayed that the weather would be good for the church picnic, and we define God as being a good God by what happens here on earth. And friends, it's not that way. The scriptures, they attest and they ascribe defining goodness with terms of God. God is the norm for all goodness. He is the measuring line or the level to which we should evaluate all things to determine if they are good. We must do what the scriptures do, and that's define good with terms of God. And I'm going to say that again. This will be the third time I've said it. We must define good with terms of God. Listen to Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good. Now listen to the definition here. His steadfast love, that is good. Love that never fails. Love that never ceases. Love that never ends. It's solid. It's not moving. It endures forever. It's faithful, it's true, it's lasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. You see how the biblical writers, the scriptures, they define good with terms of God. Jesus even said in Mark 10, verse 18, when the rich young man came to him and said, "Rich, good teacher, what must I do to be saved?" And Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? There is only one that is good, and that is God alone." As I mentioned, too often we do the exact opposite, and we define God through the elements and the experiences in life that we found to be good. Friends, this should not be so. If we define God through what we determine to be good, then we are reducing God to something we can explain, something we can control, and something that we can define. The Lord that we serve and worship is vast. He is large. He is vast, vast, vast. He is unexplainable. He is beyond any human comprehension. God is God and we are not. As Corrie Ten Boom's sister exhorted her in a time of despair to remember God's word, listen to God's word. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. Friends, God is good, and good needs to be defined by terms of God. The second thing that we need to grasp is God's works are all good. Today is Father's Day. That's been mentioned many times here, and in our text, verse 18, it speaks and tells of how God brought us forth, and salvation is in view here. A spiritual father, a good God, it tells us of his own will, God brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Salvation, friends, is God's free gift to those who believe and trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They receive the forgiveness of their sins by the sacrificial death of Christ when he died on the cross some 2,000 years ago. Salvation is indeed good. Remember with me in the book of Genesis, after God created all the heavens and the earth, he saw that it was all good. And so not only do we need to define goodness with terms of God and acknowledge that goodness is part of God's character and it is his nature, we need to realize that everything that God does is good. We must believe those two things. And lastly, in closing, we need to grasp that God's gifts are all good. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. The gifts of salvation, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the helper, the counselor, the gift of the one that part of the fruit or part of the product that comes through your life and mine is goodness. And so friends, God's gifts and what he gives to you and to me are all good. So let us recognize the temptations of the enemy to undercut, to question the goodness of God, and let us recognize the crux when we start to question God's goodness because of our own selfishness of wants, desires, and what we feel we need, we're beginning to swallow that hook that will take us to places that we don't want to go. It will lead us into things that we have no business in. And because God is a good God, He doesn't want you or me to experience the consequences. On this Father's Day, let us all remember the words of Jesus, who said that if a son comes up and asks for a piece of bread, you will not give him a rock. If he asks for a fish, you won't give him a serpent. Because as you, those of you who are good fathers, you are not that way for only one reason, because our Heavenly Father is good. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your nature, and we thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you for the truth that you are good. Jesus, I pray you would open all of our eyes to see the tempter's seduction in trying to undercut our belief in the goodness of God. And Lord, we know you're good. We know you are true. We know that your goodness endures forever. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for this remembering time that in the midst of difficulty, to not give in to the temptation to go outside of your will, to grasp things in our own strength, to grasp things in our own power, to grasp things in our own ability, but to stay and to wait upon you, to rest in your goodness, to rest in your love, for you truly do know what's best for all of us. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
To be perfect, trying to fit in, trying to understand this road God has planned. Tears flow down my face, my heart's about to break. Always hiding the real me in the darkest of the place. Do I turn when there's no one by my side? I turn to you, oh Lord, I turn to you. Trying to not fail, trying to keep up with this world, trying to be the happiest person I can be.
As we close here this morning, I think that's a great message for all of us, no matter what we face, no matter what we encounter, to turn to the Lord, to understand that He truly is good, and He wants what's best for you and for me. And sometimes He withholds things from us because He knows it's best for us, and He knows what would happen if we would receive it. And to know that the goodness of God is lasting forever, and He wants to flood your heart and soul with His goodness, His truth, and His peace. And so, friends, as we depart, may the goodness and the love and the peace and the truth of God our Father in heaven, may it flood your soul, may it encompass your mind, and may it move your heart to a greater appreciation for our Heavenly Lord, who truly is good. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I depart in peace. Amen.